Good morning, and it's great to see y'all here. And I hope you were here for the opening video that David played for us. If you were, I mean, it's like I don't even need to preach today. That was perfect. As I'm going to. Don't anybody get any bad ideas, but that would have served. Our whole service today has been awesome. So, our theme for the year has been, as you know, back to basics. We've been spending time thinking about things that could be considered foundational, as basic to our lives as followers of Christ. Things that might be simple. Of course, as we've been seeing, some of these things actually get pretty deep pretty fast, don't they? We saw that last week. For those of you who were here last week, you remember as we were talking about faith, we looked at some words from a Maasai tribesman in Africa who used the imagery of a hunting lion to describe what faith really is. And in doing that, he opened up a whole new and deeper and richer understanding for us of this simple, basic idea of faith. I hope some of you spent some time this past week thinking about that, thinking of how all-encompassing, all-consuming faith is meant to be in the life of Christians, and not just in the lives of the super-spiritual Christians, but in lives of all of us, for you and for me. Anyway, today we're going to take a brief look at another area of the Christian life that's basics, foundational, so much so that it goes without saying. There's also an area in which I think very few of us would say we're doing great. Yeah, and that subject, of course, is prayer. Prayer. So we're going to take a quick, unscientific, I admit, survey. How many of you think you got a great prayer life? Raise your hands. Don't hesitate. Go ahead. Raise your hand. There's one. There's two. There's three. There's a few. That's great. Y'all are amazing. That's more than I was expecting. And in a tiny crowd like we have today, that's a pretty good percentage. That's great. That's great. The rest of us, we're kind of in a same boat. Well, yeah, we wish we had a better prayer life. Most of us think that way. Lots of books have been written about prayer. Lots of sermons have been preached about prayer. And yet, for the vast majority of us, we recognize we still are not doing a great job with prayer. Here's what one of the many authors of the books on prayer said. The great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. That's kind of telling, is it not? Instead of having prayer being as much a part of our life as breathing, or eating, some of us have kind of relegated it into the category of this. Stop. Door for emergency use only. And what a shame that is. What a shame that is. We act as if the door to the very throne of God can only be used in case of emergency. That's not great. But the good news is, if you stick with me today, stick with me to the end, I'm going to reveal the secret that will make your prayer life amazing. That sound good? That sound like something you want? All right, stick with me. We're going to get to that. If you remember, we kind of started this whole year back to basics by looking at this verse. They, meaning the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These are the things that those members of the very first church in Jerusalem considered important enough that they devoted themselves to them. We've already talked about some of these. Fellowship. Does anyone remember the Greek word for fellowship? Koinonia. Good. Good. Y'all remembered that. And they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That's communion, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. And now we see that these very young in the faith Christians, these were brand new Christians, brand new followers, brand new believers, they saw a great benefit in devoting themselves to prayer. To prayer. I wonder where those baby Christians got that idea. Where do you think they got that idea from? Well, look at this verse. Look, this verse. All of these people, were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. And by the way, when it says all of these, it's actually a list of all of the 11 apostles. I just didn't include that because y'all all know their names by heart anyway, don't you? Peter, Andrew, James. Anyway, y'all all know those guys. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. These were the leaders. These are the people who became the leaders of that first church. I think that because the leaders made prayer a priority, it was easy for the new believers who came along to imitate what they saw the leaders doing. Which, of course, raises this question. Where did those church leaders get the idea that being devoted to prayer would be a good idea? Any guesses? Jesus, there you go. That's always the right answer, almost always. Jesus. They got it by watching Jesus. Jesus spent much time in prayer, both by himself and with these leaders here. And in fact, out of everything that all these leaders witnessed Jesus doing in 3 years of his ministry, the only thing that is recorded that they actually asked him to teach them how to do was what? Was pray. That's exactly right. They didn't ask him, could you teach us how to raise the dead? Or could you teach us how to multiply loaves and fishes to feed people? Or even make water into wine? Didn't ask Jesus to teach them to do any of that. They asked him to teach them to pray. It's amazing. Of course, another question that comes along with this is, if the early church was devoted to prayer because they saw that their leaders were devoted to prayer, does the same thing apply today? Would the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ have a reputation as being a church that is devoted to prayer if its leaders were better at modeling that? Better at modeling being devoted to prayer? Maybe. Probably. Probably is the answer. And I'm sorry for how I have failed you in this. Hope you'll forgive me. And I hope you'll help me do better, especially those of you who are great prayers, because some of you are great prayers. I'm going to take a second to go off script here for just a second, because this verse reminds me of something. It was several years ago here at Tammany Oaks. Eight, 10 years ago maybe. We were just kind of getting started in trying to break from the bonds of legalism and get to be a more free church. We were just kind of starting on that journey. And we have a Wednesday night time where we were going to have a prayer night. And there was some pushback. Pushback on that because if we're sitting in a circle to pray, who's allowed to pray? Who is allowed to pray? With men and women sitting in a circle, who's allowed to pray? I want you to know that our brother Paul Mathern said, of course the women can pray in this group. Of course they can. Can't you read this verse right here? They were all together praying. All together. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, for helping us get started on this journey that we're on, by pointing out something that had completely passed me by. It won't pass me by again. Thank you, Paul. Well, speaking of Paul, the Apostle Paul spent time with this Jerusalem church, the church that was devoted to prayer. And he spent some time with them before he went out as a missionary, before he went out planting churches all over the known world. And before he began writing his letters that we now still continue to read to this day, Paul was impressed by what he had seen in that Jerusalem church when it came to prayer. And so, as you might imagine, he came along and passed along that same idea. Look what he wrote in the book of Romans. Do not forget to rejoice, for hope is always just around the corner. Hold up through the hard times that are coming and devote yourselves to prayer. Now, other translations use slightly different language there. They say, be prayerful always, or persevere in prayer, or pray at all times, be persistent in prayer, be faithful in prayer, stuff like that. But the idea is clear. Paul wants, or rather the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, wants the followers of Christ to be praying people. Here's something else Paul wrote in Colossians. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Again, some versions translate that Greek word slightly differently. Don't be weary in prayer. Be persistent in prayer. Give a lot of time and effort to prayer. Continue praying. In each of these verses that we've looked at, and in another verse about prayer, which is 1 Corinthians 7:5, which, by the way, parenthetically, I would suggest that husbands and wives should read that verse together and talk about it together. But at any rate, in all of these verses, Paul emphasizes the same idea, being devoted to prayer, the same idea that we saw here in this verse about the Jerusalem church. And in Acts 1, before that, Paul had seen Christians who were devoted to prayer. These men and women of the early Jerusalem church. And he had seen the results. The results of in the Jerusalem church. He had seen what happens in a church that is devoted to prayer. And what he saw was a church that was devoted to learning more and more about Jesus. He saw a church that was loving each other in sacrificial ways. He saw a church devoted to communing together, to the common union they found through Jesus with each other. And if you read on just a little bit further, they would sell their lands and the things they own and then divide the money and give it to anyone who needed it. He saw a church that was devoted to generosity. Kind of talked about this point in our class this morning of selling things and helping out people. That was an interesting class this morning. And if you read on a little bit further, they worshiped together regularly in the temple each day. He saw a church that was devoted to worship. And then They met in small groups in homes for communion and shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness, praising God. He saw a church devoted to gratitude and praise. And then he saw that the whole city was favorable to them, and each day God added to them all who were being saved. He saw a church that was growing. So Paul could see, and I think that we can too, that a growing church where people are devoted to learning and to deep and intimate fellowship and to the communion of the saints with Christ and to generosity and gratitude and praise, a church that's devoted to all those things will be a praying church. It will be. But not just a church where prayers are spoken, but a church devoted to constant and fervent and passionate prayer. So what does being devoted to prayer look like? What does that look like in a church? Does it mean literally what Paul says here in another verse? Pray without ceasing? That we must never not pray? 24/7? Some of you aren't praying right now. Some of you are praying, won't you shut up and get over with it? But anyway, this is another one of our verses that we read. It's a command that we say, well, it doesn't mean exactly what it says. It's another example of that, right? Right? It doesn't mean exactly what it says. It doesn't mean, well, then when I walk up to the candy aisle in the Walmart, do I say, Lord, what is your will for me here today? Listen, a man can be devoted to his wife without having to be right by her side every moment. Amen, ladies? I mean, I think y'all would agree with that. And yet, his devotion to his wife affects everything in his life. We see that? We can see that in husbands and wives, can't we? I think being devoted to prayer is probably something like that. Probably something like that. Paul told his friends in the Colossians church of Colossae, to devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful. And then he gave them something that they could be praying about. Don't forget to pray for us too. That God will give us many chances to preach the good news of Christ, for which I am here in jail. Pray that I will be bold enough to tell it freely and fully and make it plain, as of course I should. You see anything strange about that verse there? Paul is in jail. And why is he in jail? Because he's been preaching the gospel. That's why he's in jail. And instead of asking them to pray that he will get out of jail, that he'll be released, he says, no, pray that I'll have more chances to preach more good news to people, the very thing that got him in trouble and in jail in the first place. Paul was so much more concerned about the souls of others. He was so much more concerned about the kingdom and the continued growth of the kingdom than he was about himself, than he was about his own comfort and safety. I wonder whose kingdom I pray about more, my kingdom or his kingdom. Is our self-focus keeping us for being the kind of prayers that we need to be? And remember, coming up, the secret to an amazing prayer life. It's coming up, so stay tuned. As we start thinking more and more about praying more for God's kingdom, thinking about the kingdom more, I think some interesting things are going to start to happen. For one, we're going to start feeling burdened for the things that God wants us to be burdened about. And we're going to start recognizing ways that God could use us to respond to those things. That's why prayer is a little bit scary sometimes. Because sometimes it's going to involve you doing something. Prayer also puts us on God's timetable, which is probably different than our timetable. Because God knows everything and sees everything, He's got a much better perspective than we've got. Prayer opens our eyes to what God is already doing. It also aligns our heart with His heart. And when that happens, then we can move forward. Without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him,
it doesn't matter. The Romans don't matter if the Messiah has arrived. Anything is possible now. Don't you see?
If the Messiah is here, anything is possible. Don't you see? That was from The Chosen. Andrew talking to his brother Peter about, we have found the Messiah. And he says, if the Messiah is here, anything is possible. Don't you see that? Don't we see that? What do you expect when you pray? Cars, clothes, houses, Learjets, money. Is that what you expect? Why would we expect things like that? When by prayer we have aligned our hearts with God's heart. This verse was in the video this morning, and it's a great one. Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you of great things, things beyond what you can imagine, things you could have never known. God gave this word to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the great prophet, while he was a prisoner. Isn't that strange how God's great men keep ending up in jail? But he was a prisoner. And God gave him this word. But it teaches us some things about prayer as well. Call to me. That's prayer. Crying out to God, that's prayer. And I will answer you. God is waiting to answer us. He's waiting for our call. He desires that relationship, that communion with us. Call out to me and I will answer you and I will tell you great things. Do we think that the first and the foremost purpose of prayer is to get Him to give us some stuff? The main purpose of prayer is that it allows Him to reveal His presence to us, His presence with us, His presence among us. And as we pray, the desires that He has for us, the wishes that He has for us, will become known. And none of those are going to conflict with what's in His revealed word. So how do we become a church that is devoted to prayer? How do we become people who are devoted to prayer? How do we become amazing prayers? What's the secret? Ah, the secret. Okay, the secret I promised. Are you ready? George, you ready to write this down? Okay. The rest of you who are taking notes, get ready to write. Ready? Here it is. Just do it. You thought it was going to be something profound, didn't you? You thought I had something deep for you. The truth is, most of us are not good prayers, and most of us have a bad prayer life because we just don't pray. We just don't pray. Oh, yeah, we do the usual prayer over food, the usual now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayers, the occasional Lord, get me out of this mess prayer, emergency prayer. But we know that's not being devoted to prayer. Not really, is it? We know that. To become a good prayer, we have just got to do it. We've got to start praying by ourselves, with people, whatever. Just start. Just do it. We will become better prayers when we start praying. And, by happy coincidence, that is exactly what we're going to be doing this Wednesday night. Praying. We're going to gather together to pray. I hope you'll join us. I hope you'll all join us. We need you. We need all of us to be devoted to prayer. And when we are, anything is possible. Don't you see that? If there's anything we can do for you, if there's anything we can pray for you, I'm going to be in the back. Becky's going to be in the back. There'll be, just turn to somebody next to you and say, "Will you pray with me?" Let's do that as together we stand and sing.